Good afternoon. My name is Terry Gross, and this is a special edition of Fresh Air, the first of two programs which we will devote to a discussion of AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. We're psychologically unprepared to face an epidemic that as yet has no cure, no vaccine for prevention, and is killing people in their prime. The average age of persons with AIDS is 36. Since 1981, when the condition was first identified in this country, 17,517 cases have been diagnosed in America, and 9,194 Americans have died. These are the latest statistics, as of Monday, from the Center for Disease Control. The American reaction to AIDS reveals much about how our society reacts to sickness, death, sex, and fear. Because the primary populations hit by AIDS so far have been gay and bisexual men and intravenous drug users, many Americans have detached themselves from the victim's suffering. Some Americans have even blamed the victims for their own illness, gays for practicing, quote, sexual perversion, drug users for their illegal activities. The fact that the latest research shows that AIDS is spread only through direct contact with body fluids like blood and sperm has not prevented widespread hysteria about contagion through casual contact. Attempts to limit the population's exposure to the virus has resulted in exclusionary practices, mandatory blood tests, and other actions that call into question our commitment to basic civil liberties. At the same time, our society's discomfort about openly discussing sex has inhibited efforts to educate the public about how to have sex without spreading or catching AIDS. As the disease spreads, most of us are very worried, some of us are grieving. Whether we have lost lovers, friends, or family, or fear we've already been exposed, or worry about possible future contagion, AIDS has become a frightening presence in our lives. On tomorrow's program, we'll discuss the legal, social, and ethical questions raised by AIDS, also the media coverage of AIDS, and the disease's impact on the gay community. Today, we'll discuss the medical aspects of the epidemic, how to prevent its spread, and the responsiveness of our social welfare system. In about 40 minutes, I'll speak with a doctor, an epidemiologist, and a social worker about the current medical knowledge of AIDS, its symptoms and prognosis, how AIDS is spread, and what are considered safe sex practices. We'll also hear from a buddy who works as a volunteer helping people with AIDS. First, we'll hear from a man who has AIDS. AIDS is a condition caused by the HTLV-3 virus, which attacks the immune system. When the immune system is suppressed by the virus, the person with AIDS is vulnerable to a wide range of rare infections which the healthy immune system would fend off, from cancers and pneumonia to parasites, viruses, and fungal infections. It's one of these opportunistic infections which is usually fatal to a person with AIDS. I spoke with a 32-year-old man from New Jersey who has AIDS. We will honor his request to protect his privacy by not giving his name on the air. He was diagnosed as having AIDS 1 year ago.
One day I was on the job, and all of a sudden, I just felt all my strength being taken from me. I couldn't even press the buttons on the computer. Everything just went, and I hollered for my supervisor right quick, and I told him that something was wrong with me, and I had to, you know, like, leave. And I went home, and when I got home, wasn't nobody there at the house or anything, so I just got into bed. So my sister happened to come in, and so she came in, and she saw that I was really sweating. Like, the whole bed was, like, really wet, like somebody had threw a bucket of water on me or something. Eventually, it came to where I did have to go to the hospital. And they found out that I did have AIDS.
How did the doctor tell you that you had AIDS?
Well, I really like my doctor because he's somewhat like a psychologist, too, I guess. You know, he gave it to me as easy as he could, you know. And, of course, I was like, you know, I didn't know how to react or anything like that. You know, somebody telling you, well, you know, this is what's wrong with you. But as time went on, I was very depressed. I was depressed for months, you know. And now as I look back over it, I can see where being in the hospital, the time length of time that I was in there, which was 11 weeks, that everybody was wonderful to me because I was really delirious up in that hospital, you know. And
well, there have been some reports of medical staff being afraid to go into the room with someone who has AIDS or to touch them. You didn't find anything like that?
No, I never felt that anybody was, you know, afraid of me or didn't want to come in or anything like that. The nurses, in fact, there was times when they even hugged me, you know, and comforted me a lot of times, you know. I never felt that anybody was, you know, prejudiced in that way.
Did you know much about AIDS at the time that they told you you had it?
Nothing. I knew really nothing about it until, you know, after I, you know, got out of the hospital. I did go to the library and, you know, stuff like that, and I tried to get as many pamphlets and, you know, books on the matter, but before I got it, no, I didn't know anything about it.
What were you told to do so that you could protect yourself against catching germs from other people, since your immunity is repressed when you have AIDS?
Well, to be very clean, you know, clean behind yourself all the time, and if people were around me who had colds and stuff, to make them wear masks, you know, and things like this here. But basically just to, you know, keep myself clean and, you know, I would be okay.
What about things like public transportation or, you know, going shopping and stuff? Is that exposing yourself to the flu or to cold? Can you do that?
Well, I would say, well, anything I would do, I would be exposing myself to. I'm exposed right now, you know. But, yeah, I go shopping. I, you know, sometimes I do ride public transportation and all that.
Has your family been supportive of you? There also have been reports of, with some people who have AIDS, that their own family has been afraid to go near them. What has your experience been like?
My family has been great. Everybody supports me. You know, they've just been wonderful. You know, and I think that that's like the number one medicine, regardless of what medications you're on and all that. To have your family behind you 100%, you know, that's like the best medicine that one could have.
What about friends? Did you tell your friends? How do you decide which of your friends you're going to tell?
Well, you know, like I say, you never really have a lot of friends, and you know, and I don't. I know a lot of people, but far as like friends, you know, I have a handful, you know, and those are the ones that I choose to tell because I do be around them, and none of them have changed, you know. They, you know, they'll come get me and take me to lunch or, you know, just like we've always been. None of them have changed at all, you know.
When you got AIDS and you were in the hospital for 11 weeks, when you got out of the hospital, did you continue to work?
No, I didn't.
Was that a conscious choice? Did you decide not to work, or were you fired from the position because of your sickness?
No, I just decided not to go back my own self. Well, when I got out of the hospital, I was still in my depressed stage, you know, and I just didn't like me. I didn't want to do anything, you know. It was almost like I didn't even want to leave the house to do anything, you know, to be with anybody, you know. And that's why I say, you know, the family was some of the best medicine that I could have, and even my friends, because they were like, you're going out of this house, you know. They'd come and get me and, you know, come on, we're going out, you're not going to sit here like this. And I think all of that helped to pull me through the depression. And then I got sick again in the beginning of August, and I spent 3 more weeks in the hospital. And by that time, things just start changing, my mind and everything. I started coming out of that depression.
What else helped you get out of the depression? Were you in any kind of counseling, or, you know, did any of your friends or family or your buddy say things to you that helped you
well,
just get out of it? What happened? How did you get out of that depression, which lasted a long time, and which you say you're not in any longer?
Well, you know, that's really a question that I'm really not sure exactly what did it. Well, only thing I know is that, okay, I've always been the type of person that I never like to stay depressed for a long period of time, you know? And I did see a psychiatrist, but then it had gotten to a point where I felt like he had did all he could do for me. And so that's when I decided to join the task force at that point. After I stopped going to see him, I didn't want to, like, just stop everything, you know, because I wanted to do what was ever best for me. And, you know, like I said, after the second visit in the hospital, it just did something to me. You know, I just, after I came home, I started liking myself a bit. You know, I could look in the mirror and, you know, say to myself, yeah, I do like that guy. But things just start changing, you know, and now I feel much better, you know, about myself and everything.
The task force that you joined was the AIDS task force?
Right.
Why did you join the AIDS task force?
Well, because at the time, like I said, I was seeing this psychiatrist, and seeing him did help, because when I first went to him, I really felt like I was incapable of making decisions, and I hated myself for that, you know. It just seemed like everything was just right on the top of my head, but I just couldn't make a decision about anything. It was like, I just don't care, you know. And it was always like I put it off on a family member or somebody, and I knew they would take care of it, you know. But it was like, you know, I just didn't care. And so after I went to him, I guess, for a couple months, and then I felt like he had did all he could do for me. So, like I said, I didn't want to stop there because I still felt that I needed something. And so I decided that maybe if I, you know, go to these meetings, because the doctor had even suggested, you know, me joining the task force. But at the time I was like, you know, this just not what I want, you know, that's not for me. But, so I joined the task force and went a few times, and I got to like it, you know. There was that openness there, too, like you could just go and just spill your guts out, you know. And I felt real relaxed and all, you know, being there. And so, you know, that's what I did.
When you found out you had AIDS, did you ever go through a period of doing trips on yourself, of trying to figure out how you got it and why you got it and what that meant, and feeling guilty or feeling bad for having gotten it?
Mm-hmm. But, well, of course I did, you know. But then after a while, I was like, you know, I would drive myself crazy sitting here thinking, how in the world did I get this, you know, because it's like, I'll never know, you know. And so once I, like, really told myself that, I sort of, like, you know, cooled out trying to think like that. I mainly was geared to, you know, really trying to get myself together rather than depressing myself more, because I was already depressed enough without, you know, having to go through that.
Because a large group of the people who have AIDS are either gay or IV drug users. When people find out that you have AIDS, do they make certain assumptions about you? And, you know, does it get, like, more complicated than than you'd want it to be?
That's a good question, because, you know, that never comes up, you know. And in fact, I had said that I was going to ask my sister that question. Why was it that nobody ever brought that up to me or anything? But no, that question has never come up at all, even from my friends. You know, nobody ever asked any questions.
Are you glad, or do you wish that they would so you could talk about it?
Well, I like it like it is now, you know, but, you know, if somebody in my family was to ask, you know, of course I would, you know, tell them the truth. But, you know, like I said, I did think of that before, that that question never came up.
When you got sick, you left your job mm-hmm. because you were sick and depressed and didn't really feel like you could work anymore. Did you have any health insurance, or what did you do to support yourself when you were too sick to work?
Well, the only thing that I get right now is Social Security. But I didn't have any insurance or anything. In fact, when I had gotten this job, I had just started this job in December. This was a new job for me. And this happened like right at the beginning of March, like I said. So I hadn't really even worked long enough to even get the benefits and all that. So, you know, after being up there all that long time, and like I said, I was really depressed, so I just decided not to go back, you know. But I would like to go to work. In fact, I'm thinking about, you know, taking on a part-time job. I don't think I could work 8 hours a day, but I do think I could work for, you know, about 4 hours a day or something.
If you applied for a job, you'd have to confront the question of whether or not to tell the person who was interviewing you for the job that you had AIDS. Would you tell them?
I don't know. And in fact, that's another reason why it's really taken me so long, you know, to even decide on taking a job, you know, because I would want to tell them. Because if I was to get sick there and a person knows what's wrong with you, you know, it would be better, you know. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I still haven't gotten a job, because that does worry me, you know.
Well, it's a tough position to be in. You're in a difficult spot to get a job, because then the whole issue of you being sick comes up. And if you don't have a job, then there's no income mm-hmm. coming in. I think this is a situation that many of the people who have AIDS are up against. Are there any other support systems that you have financially to help you?
Well, no, not really. I mean, my family, they do all they can, you know, to help me out. And I live with one of my sisters and her husband, and, you know, like, the family, they're like, you know, they give her money sometimes and stuff like this here to, you know, help out with me. And, you know, and that's it, you know. And my financial status is really messed up. Yeah.
Do you ever end up overhearing conversations by people on a train or a bus or whatever about AIDS, and they don't know that you're listening and that you have AIDS? And what are some of the things that you've heard that have affected you?
Well, people seem to think that, you know, a person with AIDS, you know, they seem to think that their life is over, that they should just be excluded from everything, you know. And I have heard these conversations on the train and stuff like this here. But I just smile and go, you know, go on, because I know that these are people who have not educated themselves about AIDS itself, you know, because if they were trying to educate themselves about it, they wouldn't say some of the things that they would say. I mean, I just can't understand how you think that, you know, you can just exclude a person from life, because actually that's what you're doing, you know, and it just can't be done, you know. I'm still living, you know, and I have to deal with the world.
Okay. Thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
The man who we just heard from has had AIDS for 1 year. We've honored his request to not mention his name on the radio.